Welcome to the Infrastructure Show. I'm your host, Professor Joseph Schoffer of Northwestern University. The Infrastructure Show is designed to present to listeners the reality of America's infrastructure, its condition, why it is the way it is, and what can be done about it. Water infrastructure issues are much in the news in the U.S., not only in the West, where the continuing drought is taking a high toll, but also in other parts of the country where conflicting needs of municipalities, utilities, commercial interests, and agriculture result in serious problems. In this interview, one in a series of three on water infrastructure topics designed to provide an overview of the nation's water challenges, we're talking with Bill Stowe, who's general manager of the Des Moines Water Works, who's going to discuss the impact of agricultural chemicals on water quality for municipality. Bill, thanks for talking to us today.
Joe, you're welcome. It's my pleasure to be with you.
So tell us first a little bit about the Des Moines Water Works. How much water do you supply? What are your sources? And what kinds of customers do you serve?
We serve about 500,000 central Iowans, as our name implies. We're in and around the city of Des Moines, which is a capital city in the center of the state. We draw our water sources. We're a surface water provider from either the Raccoon or Des Moines Rivers, which are tributaries ultimately to the Mississippi River. We're about 150 miles northwest of the Mississippi River near the Illinois-Iowa border. We're largely a metropolitan area of white-collar business, a lot of financial services, some manufacturing, a growing amount of information technologies businesses. As an example, Microsoft and Facebook have a number of server farms here where they essentially route server traffic throughout the United States and throughout North America through servers that are physically located here. So 500,000 folks, urban, suburban, and also some rural in the outlying areas of our service territory where we have agricultural row crops, soybeans and corn primarily, but also livestock. This is a state that has 11 million hogs and 3 million people, so livestock is very much a reality in the areas outside of the immediate metro area that I live in.
So does some of the water you produce, does it go back to the farms for irrigation uses?
We do. Irrigation isn't prevalent in this part of the Midwest. We're pretty wet, as a matter of course, so irrigation is not a farming practice need in this area of the upper Midwest. We're wet. We're actually more interested in removing water on a day-to-day basis from farm fields than we are on adding it. So irrigation, not a use here on the farm side. Certainly in urban and suburban lawns, we'll see a little bit of that going on. But the agricultural need that we deliver would largely be for livestock watering, but also for residents, obviously. Human inhabitants on farms need water just as you and I do in an urban and suburban context. So that's a small part of our customer base. Probably 10% or less is involved in rural areas, the majority being urban and suburban.
So how are the chemicals used on the farms impacting the quality of your source water?
Yeah, the ultimate issue here in central Iowa really is very similar to what it is in the Gulf of Mexico in the hypoxic zone, the dead zone. Over-nutrification is our problem, and the nutrients that we're particularly concerned about are nitrogen and phosphorus. Nitrogen, the larger concern for us in drinking water production, because our lime softening and reverse osmosis systems do a pretty good job of dealing with phosphorus as a nutrient. Nitrogen is the larger nutrient concern, and nitrogen comes from a number of different sources, but it is applied in industrial agricultural settings to make corn grow in particular. Corn is a net user of nitrogen, and anhydrous ammonia and waste, particularly livestock waste manure, is added to farmland to allow it to be more productive in producing both corn and soybeans, but in this state, largely corn.
So do I understand it correctly that the path through which the nitrogen reaches you is through farm runoff into the river system?
Yeah, runoff is not a term that we use in describing it because runoff implies surface water. We are actually more concerned about contamination of groundwater. The beautiful black farm fields that you can imagine in your own mind, Norman Rockwell and Grant Woods Midwest, this part of the Midwest, those beautiful black farm fields underneath is really a stormwater drainage system called drainage tiles in our world. But if you can imagine a meter and a half or so beneath beautiful black farmland, there's flexible tile that is intended to receive and laterally move the top of the water table from those farm fields to make them more productive. Again, we're a pretty wet area of the upper Midwest, so the soils that we have here really have to be drained to be particularly effective. Some of the best farmland in the world for raising corn and soybeans, but they have to be drained. So that drainage system obviously interrupts the natural vertical fall of water back into the aquifer by intercepting it and moving it laterally into the surface waters. And that's what we're really most concerned about, because we receive an artificial amount of water and an artificial amount of heavily polluted water because, again, it's intercepting at a meter and a half or so beneath the surface, the top of the water table, and bringing heavily laden farm chemical polluted water into the surface waters of the state, which we rely on to extract from either the Des Moines or Raccoon River and then ultimately to treat and deliver to 500,000 folks here in the middle of our state.
So it's the groundwater effectively that's being diverted and moved into the river network.
Yeah, we've just come off of several days of really hard rain, and what we see actually is a dilution from the rainwater, the precipitation water coming into the surface waters of the state. But in a few days, we'll go back to norm, and we'll see drainage tiles drawing really from the top of the water table, that is groundwater, and bringing it over and bringing it over again with, unfortunately, a large amount of pollutants. The pollutants that are particularly of concern to us are nitrate concentrations, NO3, and again, that's largely coming from conversion of ammonia to nitrate. Our concern is nitrogen as an over-nutrient that we experience here in the Midwest and then ultimately travels through our river systems to the Gulf of Mexico, contributing to Gulf Coast hypoxia.
So what do you do at the Des Moines Water Works to address this flow of unwanted chemicals?
Great question. We have three different water treatment plants. The largest two of the three use traditional lime softening and sand filtration, which is a technology, it's kind of the gold standard for water treatment that's been around for a long time, very effective at moving microbiological issues, viruses and protozoa, bacteria, the kinds of things you normally think about in drinking water, but unfortunately not very good at removing nitrate concentration. So we have constructed about 25 years ago now the world's largest nitrate removal facility. It's an ionization facility that after we treat the water and it's ready for delivery in times when nitrate concentrations are high in our rivers, we have to actually run it through this additional step, this additional process that uses ionization to remove nitrogen. It's expensive. The ionization process we use actually relies on salt, as in sodium chloride, to be able to strip away the nitrates, and it leaves us with a harmful mess, a salt, a nitrogen mix that we don't like. But first and foremost, what we're really concerned about is it's a situation where our public safety and public health are being risked by the amount of pollutants, particularly nitrate concentrations, that we're finding in our surface waters that are growing over time. We will have denitrified our water through that kind of side stream process half the days this year, and that's a record that previously was about a third of the year. So we're obviously seeing far higher levels of nitrate concentrations in our rivers because of industrial agriculture upstream from us.
So do you know that industrial agriculture has been changing? Has it been growing?
Certainly
expanding?
Industrial agriculture has been changing. Those of us who are from this area have seen the density of crops, that is the number of seeds that are planted on acreages, changing. The distance between plants has changed significantly. The amount of anhydrous ammonia and the amount of animal waste that's added to the soils to be able to increase productivity and yields has changed. Somebody growing up around here, it would have been very unusual to see 100 bushels per acre of corn as a expectation 30 years ago. Now it's closer to 200 bushels of corn per acre. So clearly the genetics and the science of raising crops has changed. But the downside of that is the chemical inputs and requirements to be able to make that soil as productive in terms of drainage systems have also aggravated a problem for those of us who live downstream in Iowa, 22 million acres of tilled soils that are used for row crops.
So in effect, you're paying a price for increased yields.
Yeah, no question that in our view, there's a cost of production that's been shifted from the producers downstream to us as consumers, and that's a huge concern for us because this is a multi-million dollar issue that really requires new technologies that'll, again, put our rate payers in a position that they should not have to be put in. The producers should be doing more upstream, obviously, to prevent those pollutants from reaching our river intakes. And that's a central part of our argument against industrial agriculture.
So what can be done at the level of the farm to ameliorate the problem?
For those of us who work with pipes, a pipe is a treatment opportunity. These fields are piped. So that provides a drainage management opportunity for you to use a number of infield and edge-of-field techniques to be able to reduce pollutants that come through those pipes. There are different planting strategies in terms of crop rotations and use of chemical inputs that could change within the field. On the edge of the field, there are a number of these drainage tiles. Effluent can be put through to reduce pollutants, whether it's a charcoal media or whether it's a wood chip media or something called saturated buffers, where these tiles are actually brought back up to the surface and sheet flowed across vegetation, and the vegetation would use the nutrients rather than dumping it directly into the waters of the state. So there are a number, the research out there is very solid on so-called conservation practices that could reduce this, but in a system that's largely voluntary, that is, these tiles are not permitted, don't have to be permitted, at least under the current regulatory regime, as they discharge into the waters of the state and the waters of the United States. Clearly, if it were another business, they would have to have an NPDES permit. So it's largely unregulated now. If it were regulated, there are a number of approaches that could significantly reduce the public health concerns that we have as water producers downstream.
So what are the options for balancing the interests of agriculture and potable water users? When I think about options, do you talk about technologies and agricultural strategies, but how do you bring these interests together and in effect make a market where some reasonable settlement can come about?
Well, that process is very difficult in a world where the political system in this state is largely dominated by industrial agriculture. We, as a protector of consumers and public health, have argued that regulation is needed. The US EPA have said that these piping systems, these drainage districts, should not be regulated, and actually were involved in litigation to move our position forward, viewing these drainage districts as essentially point source polluters like any other discharger from a pipe into the waters of the United States. So we're certainly down that track. Ultimately, there has to be a real reflection on federal policies, USDA policies, renewable fuel standards, as an example, often encourage higher yields and more production on land that's marginal, ultimately triggering more pollutants in surface waters for us downstream. So there is a patchwork and a conflicting series of incentives that really have benefited industrial agriculture and producers, but now it's becoming clearer and clearer that a number of us downstream as consumers, whether we're water consumers in Des Moines, Iowa, or shrimpers in the Gulf of Mexico, are beginning to pay the cost, literally, of a perverse system of non-regulation and incentives using federal and state dollars to encourage production, really, at the expense of environmental protection.
Interesting problem of generating an externality in a case where what you probably want to do is internalize that.
We're talking about internalizing an external cost back to the producers. That, you know, seems pretty straightforward as we talk about it here, but a great deal of resistance from the producers who basically say that they have been encouraged for 100 plus years in this state to put the throttle all the way to the floorboard and to produce at the highest possible level without regard to environmental consequences, and reversing that, really introducing agricultural accountability for water quality in this state and throughout the Mississippi Valley in particular is quite a climb.
Yes, and recognizing really the full costs of these increased yields.
Absolutely. Yeah, again, our position is that there are artificial profits that are accruing to the producers because they're pushing a cost, an environmental cost, downstream to those of us who unfortunately have to deal with pollutants that are a direct attribute of industrial agriculture and take steps to be able to protect public health and safety by cleaning drinking water.
Interesting and unhappy problem to have to deal with. Really, I appreciate your giving us the insights that you shared with us today. I wish you well as you pursue this complicated problem.
Thank you, Joe. I appreciate your best wishes and Well, all hope for a greater appreciation of environmental issues and climate change issues as professionals in our business moving forward.
Absolutely. Thank you very much for talking with us today, Bill.
You're welcome, Joe.